Thank you. I'll keep my speech brief, about 30 seconds, to give you room for questions. Thank you very much, Basil, for the very welcome invitation, also for the kind words. As I was coming past the glass table there, I had a thought that the last chairman that went to speak at a policy meeting was Brian Ray. And there's about a 6-inch gap there, so I was very mindful of the fact I didn't want to end up in hospital. And invite my staff officer to do the speech for me. That would not be fair. Can I say, first of all, how proud I am, how immensely proud I am to be standing in the shoes of men and women of such awesome courage, such awesome commitment, and such awesome conviction to do the right things on behalf of the people of Northern Ireland. And when I need to be reminded why I'm here, I stand in our memorial garden and look at the 302 names of the people that gave their lives so we can have this debate, so we can have the devolution of police and justice, so we can have a situation where security can be restored, confidence built, and we can have tourism come here, and economic development, and money come and rebuild the economy, all because 302 people gave their lives for the future. And it is a tremendous privilege to stand in their shoes. And if there are people that think that the new generation somehow aren't up to the old, even in the past few weeks, I've been wondering, do I discipline them or do I commend them? For those that walk towards danger, for those that leave their lives behind, for people that go through windows when the building is burning, knowing that the fire brigade aren't there yet, but they've got to save someone's life. For a young man with a family who chose to walk past a car bomb that was about to go off because he saw people in the shop opposite whose lives would have been lost and wasted. And he made that decision, and a minute and a half later, the bomb went off. The generation that we have today is as good as a generation that went before, and you can rely upon them to do the right things on behalf of everybody. I want to say that because wearing a green uniform is the greatest privilege of my life to date. And when I worry about budgets and the threat and the scale of trying to deal with the past so we can have a future and the issues of severance and the way in which the political debate gives me such great advice, folks, sometimes through Nolan, sometimes through the newsletter and sometimes privately, and thank you very much for the advice. I've been sometimes overwhelmed with it, may I say. But when all those dilemmas are taking place, let me say again, I just remind myself of who we are, and I know that the courage will stand us good long into the future, because that's what we do. And we're recruiting at the moment, by the way, for every 50 people that apply, we're just taking one person. The quality of the next generation of police officers is extremely high, and I'm deeply, deeply proud of them as well. And can I also say a huge thank you for the welcome, genuinely. I know some of you would have heard me speak before. I'm out virtually every evening at the moment. In fact, my diary every other weekend is now booked up with speaking engagement until next September. Many of those are invitations from people of faith, and I really welcome that, because that's a great debate, and there's been people, up to 2,000 people, hearing the debate about where policing is, and that's why I welcome it. I said from day one, 15 months ago, is it really that short, that I would be open and accessible, and even if people disagreed, we would find the time to have the conversation about the things that matter. I think tomorrow night I'm in Ballymena again. So that's what we're about, and that's what we're doing. People have said to me three things consistently in all those big conversations. The conversations that take place away from the formal meetings of the policing board, the big conversations that take place away from the things I'm held accountable for. You know what people have said to me? They said to me, we want you to do three things, Chief. We want to do three things, the things that we think will inspire us. Because what we want to have is a police service that is inspirational. Not just the acts of courage that your colleagues do, but the way you do it. We want the uniform to stand for what we want to be. And that's not just from one community or another, That's from people that never spoke to police before, including those that have been involved with police for a long time. We want the PSNI to be inspirational. And how are you going to do that? Well, there's three things that trouble us. One is the security situation. And I've no doubt we'll have some questions on that in a few minutes' time. I have never underestimated the threat. Let me just reassure you about that. I have never underestimated the threat. Why is that? First, because I've got 34 years policing service. I understand the threat. But secondly, I have some of the finest senior officers you will ever find across the world standing alongside me. Not just people that we've recruited since the PSNI came into life in the last 10 years, but people who have stood through the difficult days of the Troubles. Our public order commanders, when Basil very kindly came and joined us for that evening, have been through many, many years of policing experience. They understand the need, they also understand the context. These are experienced people, many of whom have long-standing RUC experience. But the threat is severe. And I think we lost some of the capabilities that we need to deal with it, perhaps with hindsight, with an over-optimistic view of the future. And by the way, I am a relentless optimist because I think that's what people want. But and I think we have a right to be relentlessly optimistic for a reason I'll explain in a minute. But the truth is, I think we wound it down too quickly. No one's to blame for that. That was about trying to get to a point where we could have devolution and a future. I understand that entirely. But in the last year, certainly since I've been chief, we have put tens of millions of pounds, sadly, back into rebuilding and enhancing some of the things we need to keep these people on the back foot. People who are morally, spiritually, and intellectually bankrupt, because they have no way of understanding that actually any political future, any future in this island requires a consensus of politics, whatever your belief is. And sadly, people that wake up hating and go to bed hating will not be persuaded through politics in the short term. They will have to be persuaded, unfortunately and sadly, by long prison sentences. And that's a sadness, because I don't want to see a generation of people spending time in prison. I don't. That's not who I am, and that's not who I know that's not who you are. But let me give you some reassurance around this, because it's difficult. Figures only tell a partial story. But we are now working very closely with our colleagues, the Gardaí colleagues. And by the way, Faulkner Murphy stood up and said, a remarkable statement recently, an attack on the PSNI is an attack on the guards. An attack on the PSNI is an attack on the guards. And let me tell you, they're not just words. They have put significant resources, effort and ability into keeping this problem away from Northern Ireland on our behalf. And I commend them for that, because you can see that in the results we've had even in the last few days. They mean business. They mean business on our behalf. But I give you this commitment. We will not back off. We will put the finest counter-terrorism organisation in place. Much of that is already there. And that's why, working with the guards, we've already charged 80 people this year with terrorist offences compared to just 17 last year. That is nearly a five-fold increase in the people being brought before the courts in just a short space of time. You don't get there if you don't take it seriously and you're not investing significant amount of money. And I know I'm going to have to keep this here at least for the next 5 years, and I will do so. But let me say the second issue. And by the way, can I just say this? Because I'm asked to say this time and time again. I'm mindful of the fact that I've been here 15 months. I have to earn the right to talk about some things, and I understand that entirely. But my colleagues would like to remind people that although it's serious, although it's severe, we are not in the place that you were before. And everyone keeps reminding me of that. That's why I think we have a right to be optimistic, because you have to build a political consensus before you can move on. That's in place now. You played an enormous part in that, I know. You have to have that. So although we have to deal with this problem, it is not the same as it was. It is not the same. But we've got to keep it on the back foot. Second thing that people have asked me to do, mindful of time. We want to have the finest personal police service in the world at the same time. That's a real dilemma, isn't it? How do you keep people safe? How do you keep police officers safe when they're throwing hand grenades at you? And yet still develop an open, accessible, responsive police service that stands scrutiny with anywhere in the world about dealing with the things on the neighbourhood, the antisocial behaviour, the off-licence selling special brew to children, the things that affect people's day-to-day quality of life. And people have said to me, we want to deal with the security situation, but we also want the finest police service in the world. And a lot, we've gone a long way with that. But you know something? We haven't been consistent enough. We haven't kept our neighbourhood officers in place long enough to make a difference. We haven't had enough neighbourhood officers in the right place. We know now where our most vulnerable communities are. There will need to be more policing in those communities to stop the young people becoming disaffected and becoming involved in crime. So we've mapped Northern Ireland in terms of where the problems are. We will be issuing in the new year a set of commitments that we're going to stick to. When you phone the police, exactly what you'll get. Your neighbourhood officers will be there for 80% of their time. And you know something? We will do that in spite of the security situation, because confidence in policing is just too important to the future to allow ourselves to be dragged back into some militaristic style of policing that does not involve people in the solutions that we need to find. That is another commitment. The commitment to tackle the security situation and the commitment to drive through the finest personal policing reforms you will imagine. And we're well up for doing that, and we're doing it. Do you know something? I get very frustrated sometimes. You probably get very frustrated with me sometimes. This year, we have had a 12-year low in crime, in spite of the security situation. The omnibus figures that were published just a few days ago, these are not just statistics, they are significant. There has been a big rise in the confidence that people have in the PSNI, a big rise in people's feelings of safety in their neighbourhood in spite of the security situation, and importantly, and it is important, in Catholic communities, for those that define themselves that way, a 7% rise in 1 year of confidence in the PSNI. A 7% rise. How many politicians here would like a 7% rise in popularity? Eat your hearts out. Eat your hearts out. We've got a 7%. You'd like that, I'm sure. We give coaching, by the way, as a sort of income generation scheme. You're welcome to join with us on that. But genuinely, the personal policing, we mean business on that. We genuinely need to be in the heart of all communities, and we won't be deterred from that. And we're going to get more consistent. And you know something? We're going to hold ourselves accountable for that in a way that's unique. We'll be ringing back victims of crime and asking them, how did Matt Baggett do for you? Was he not just smart? Was he concerned? Was he a good investigator? But more than that, did he say, I don't want this to happen again? And did he also say to you what the PSNI stands for and what we can do for you in your neighbourhood? Did we go the extra mile? We have 500,000 moments of truth each year, which are encounters for good or indifference. And we believe that's the way we're going to win hearts and minds day in, day out, by becoming more consistent on the very personal things. Final thing from me, then we're going to have questions. We have got to deal with the past, we've got to deal with the present, we've got to deal with the security situation, and we're in a recession. We have a Navy that can't afford to have the aircraft. And I say that to people, in all seriousness, because I think the political debate about policing has matured. Up until recently, it's been too easy for people to stand and make impossible demands, knowing that they are impossible. But now we've got the devolution of policing and justice. Do you know, as Chief Constable, I'm entitled to say, I might agree with you, and if I do that publicly, you'll have to find the money. So when we come to talk about the budget savings, it is a mature debate, a quiet, responsible debate we need to have, because we've got ships without aircraft. That's the reality. But this year alone, we found nearly £30-40 million worth of cash savings. We are desperately trying to reform the justice system so we free police officers up to go back on the streets where you want them. And this year, there are 584 more police officers on the streets than there were this time last year. Because I have challenged every bit of bureaucracy, every bit of practice, because I want police officers doing it and not writing about it. I want police officers back on the streets using common sense. So my ambition is to reform in a common sense way, to save the money, to put more police officers back on the streets wherever I can, to tackle the security situation, to deliver the personal policing. But please be clear about this, we can only spend the money once. And I can't keep every police station open, I might like to. I can't do everything I want, because we're in the middle of a worse recession, and they are very real debates we have to have. But if I get this right and we can reform some of the bureaucracy, do you know something? I'm optimistic. We may have more police officers on the street again this time next year, as we've delivered at this moment in time. Chairman, thank you very much. We'll take some questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland.